for they could not conceal from themselves that each moment lessened their velocity through the water, as the shot of the enemy stripped the canvas from the yards or dashed aside the lighter spars in their terrible progress.
"We find our equal here," said Griffith to the stranger. "The 90 is heaving up again like a mountain, and if we continue to shorten sail at this rate, she will soon be down upon us."
"You say true, sir," returned the pilot, musing. "The man shows judgment as well as spirit, but—" He was interrupted by Mary, who rushed from the forward part of the vessel, his whole face betokening the eagerness of his spirit and the importance of his intelligence.
"The breakers!"
he cried, when nigh enough to be heard amid the din.
"We are running dead on a ripple, and the sea is white not 200 yards ahead."
The pilot jumped on a gun, and bending to catch a glimpse through the smoke, he shouted, in those clear, piercing tones that could be even heard among the roaring of the cannon,
"Port! Port your helm! We are on the devil's grip!"
"Pass up the trumpet, sir."
"Port your helm, fellow! Give it to them, boys! Give it to the proud English dogs!"
Griffith unhesitatingly relinquished the symbol of his rank, fastening his own firm look on the calm but quick eye of the pilot, and gathering assurance from the high confidence he read in the countenance of the stranger.